Hello, and welcome to the Percussive Maintenance Podcast. I'm Herb Warple, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems. Thanks for tuning in. 2023 marks the fifth year that Engineered Systems has showcased the women of engineering through our 20 to Watch Women in HVAC contest. Through this contest, we've documented the career journeys of 100 individuals, all with different shades of success. And while each of their stories may be a little different, they're all outstanding examples of how anyone can find success in the engineering industry, regardless of gender, ethnicity, or any other physical characteristic. This year's winners feature women from every level of the industry, from entry-level novices to engineers in training to those running their own firms and everything in between. After countless hours of deliberation, our staff selected 20 deserving individuals for this honor. In this series of 20 podcast episodes, we welcome in each of this year's winners and ask them to explain their roles in the industry, define some of the challenges they've experienced, to predict the future, and much, much more. It's Engineered Systems' honor and privilege to showcase this year's class of 20 to Watch Women in the HVAC industry.
Yes, I am the Director of Engineering at ADG Blatt. We're an architecture, engineering, and program management firm based in Oklahoma City and Edmond in Oklahoma.
Great. So what does your day-to-day job entail? I know it may be a little different every day, but tell us what a typical day would look like.
Well, most days I work really closely with our architectural project managers to coordinate and review the engineering designs for all disciplines, both internal and with our external consultants. So occasionally, I'll still fill the role of engineer record for the right projects. And additionally, I'm the engineering project manager for projects that are mostly engineering for both the A&E departments and for our program management group who offers owner's rep services. So I spend most of the day at my desk or in meetings, helping team members to collaborate, offering contracts. I've done a lot of contracts this week, attending networking or client events after hours, and then obviously lots of time on job sites.
It's that variety or diversity that really makes us love engineering, right?
Yep. Yeah, you got to be ready to go. I might be wearing a dress to go to a networking event, and then I got to switch to jeans and throw on my boots and a hard hat and run to a job site all in the same day.
Or conducting an interview with a national engineering publication. You never know.
You never know.
Madison, I know you're a first-generation college student for your family, so your success certainly did not come with a blueprint. Can you share a little bit more about your professional journey?
Sure. Well, I neared high school graduation, and I had no idea what I wanted to do. I didn't even know if college was the right choice for me because no one in my family had been to college, so I didn't really know what the options were. But I knew that I loved physics and calculus, and I thought, well, if that I turn that into a job, that's engineering. I knew that I needed to take some national certificate or national tests in order to get into college, and I did that in April of my senior year. Barely squeaked in the results. I got was one shot and go. Thankfully, it was just high enough to be able to get into college. But I realized I really didn't think the university was the right fit for me for my first year. So I started out at a community college, and that turned out to be a really great choice for me. I did 2 years at a community college and earned my associate's degree in pre-engineering. And this community college works really closely with the local university, so all of my classes transferred. So I began working in the industry after I had my associate's degree and worked through college to finish up my bachelor's of science in mechanical engineering.
Terms like psychrometrics and thermodynamics often send people running to the hills. But as you were going through school, you were sort of drawn to these philosophies. What was it that sucked you in when it came to these terms?
Well, thermodynamics was a first class that I hit that was really, really challenging for me. It didn't come naturally to me. I'm a very kinesthetic learner, and I do better when I can touch or imagine a problem to work through the solution. And there's no way to touch heat. There's no way to imagine entropy in a physical form. And so I had to work really hard in that class to wrap my brain around the subject. But I really, really loved that challenge. Once I finally understood the concept, got through it and earned that A, it felt really great to accomplish that. And I think that's where I knew that mechanical engineering was definitely the path for me.
Yeah, sometimes it just clicks, right?
Yeah.
And now suddenly you're 16 years into your engineering career. In that time, what's changed the most and what's changed the least?
I think the biggest changes have revolved around advancing codes, especially the energy conservation code. When I started out, ICC codes weren't, we didn't really use them. We used the older version before ICC was really a thing. So watching ICC kind of take over and become the standard in most jurisdictions has been really interesting to see things more standardized. Now the ICC codes are more consistently enforced across the United States. And I've been really pleased to see the progress of the Energy Code, the IECC, helping buildings be more sustainable and more efficient. I think the smallest change in the industry that I've seen has been the number of women, unfortunately, working as mechanical engineers. People who identify as women are over 50% of the population. Here in Oklahoma, we're 51% of the population. Yet when I started in the industry, just under 7% were people who identified as women. And now, almost two decades later, that number has barely increased. The current data from the National Science Foundation shows that we are just over 8%. So that number hasn't grown very much, and I'd really love to see that closer to the percentage of people who identify as women in the population.
Right, and a great segue to that, as you said, is as a woman in engineering, you have to be twice as good to get half the respect. What do you mean by that?
Well, women often have to outperform their male counterparts to be considered equally competent. And we're also stuck with this challenge of being seen as either likable or competent. Studies show that people have a really hard time seeing women as both at the same time. And so sometimes we have to make the choice, do I want to be seen as likable today or do I want to be seen as competent? And I don't think that that is something that men have to think through on a daily basis, but we're constantly faced with that of being, we feel like maybe we have to be perfect all the time or be better than, and we shouldn't have to face that, but sometimes we do.
Well, I will attest that yourself and the other winners of this contest have shown that women can be both likable and competent, for sure.
Great. That's good to hear.
Madison, it comes as no surprise, as you mentioned, that women in engineering often have to endure challenges. Can you share one that you've encountered and maybe share how you've turned that negative experience into a positive?
Sure. This was a few years ago. I was on a job site, and this was a job that was halfway across the country. So the team had flown out there. We were going to do our punch list, and we were going to fly back. So time was very constrained. We needed to get our job done and get home. So the contractor had made some deviations from the plans, and I was looking to see how things actually got installed so that I could get the punch list written up, see if the installation was acceptable, or if I needed them to go back and change some things. So I had a contractor wait until I was completely alone in the room without the rest of the team. He got right in my face, he yelled at me, and he called me the B word. And I was very shaken. I'm not a confrontational person, so I was not pleased with that interaction. I just kind of let it go, tried to calm down the situation, found the rest of my team, let someone know what had happened, and then called my boss to let them know what had happened because I knew it would eventually go back to them. And reached out to a mentor when I got back. One of my favorite mentors, she's used to be my boss. So I don't work for her anymore, but she's always there when I need her. And I told her the story and she laughed. And I thought, why is she laughing at me? And she goes, oh, honey. And she explained to me that the reason I was called that was because I was doing my job and he just didn't like it and he was sexist. And it had absolutely nothing to do with me, his choice of that word. It had everything to do with him. And so now when that word comes up, which it does on rare occasion, I just remind myself, it has nothing to do with me. I'm doing my job and they don't like it.
Yikes. Was there ever a consequence for this individual? Do you know?
I don't know.
Well, karma will get him in the end. Madison, you have some great advice for up and coming women in this profession. You said, don't be afraid to be exactly who you are. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, just be you, be your authentic self. Maybe the authentic you is someone who uses she, her pronouns. They wear pink a lot. You're really flamboyant. You're highly empathetic. Just lean into that. Don't be afraid to hide that at work. Lean into those strengths. Maybe the authentic you doesn't sound anything like that. Maybe you don't fit into the conventional feminine box. Maybe you use different pronouns. Maybe you present differently. That's okay. Lean into that. Just be who you are. Lean into your strengths. Because I think authenticity and diversity of thought are two of the most important things that anyone can bring into any room. So find people with skill sets to augment the places where you're not as strong and look around for others to help magnify their voices to help them succeed. There's the old quote from Fred Rogers that says, look for the helpers. So I like that phrase, look for the helpers. And not only that, but be a helper, be a mentor, help others around you, and just try to be kind along the way.
Anytime we can reference Mr. Rogers in an interview is a win for me.
Yes, agreed.
Madison, we've covered quite a bit already in this interview, but while we have you, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Sure. I'm a big fan of this book called Start With Why, and I highly recommend adding it to everyone's reading list. It's really good to find out what drives you, figure out why you do what you do, help making decisions in your life that align to that, and then all the rest just kind of seems to follow. It's been really impactful in my life, and I'm always a fan of recommending this to other people.
Thanks so much for spending some time with us. And again, congratulations. For those who are interested in connecting with you or ADG Blatt, where should they turn?
They can connect with me on LinkedIn. They can send me an email by looking up the ADG Blatt website at adgokc.com.
Well, thanks again. It's been fantastic to share your journey, and we look forward to tracking your career success from here on out. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Percussive Maintenance Podcast. If you happen to know the individual featured in this episode, we encourage you to help us further recognize her achievements through social media. Simply visit Engineered Systems Magazine on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn, and like, comment, or share the corresponding celebratory post to help us broaden this recognition. To learn more about contests such as this one, or to stay up to date with the latest trends, news, and innovations in the mechanical engineering industry, we invite you to subscribe to our monthly magazine and e-newsletters. To do so, visit www.esmagazine.com. The Percussive Maintenance Podcast is now available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Show your support for industry journalism by rating and reviewing this podcast. Doing so will help us reach a larger audience. Also, please subscribe or bookmark us so that you can enjoy all of our past and future episodes. We appreciate your continued support. And remember, if you can't fix it with your brain, you can always rely on a swift kick. We'll see you next time.